Welcome to the Inspired Culture. I'm your host, Eric Himes, and today I'm joined by someone who knows leadership from the inside out. Kevin Riddens has over a decade of experience leading with integrity and helping teams operate more effectively, both in the field and at the top. Kevin, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It really, really is. So a couple of questions for you as we're talking about masks of leadership. You know, what are the 50 masks of leadership and how do they show up at work?
Yeah, I think the 50 mask, of course, something that you brought to our attention, right? And, you know, I think for many leaders, we think it's a good thing that we're wearing, right? But as we find over time, that something that you use too often can be a negative impact. So I think it's just a way for us to reflect on certain things that we think is a skill that maybe the how it might hurt the growth of our team and where they are stagnant because of a mask that we are wearing as leaders.
Why do so many leaders feel like they have to hide their true selves?
I think we have to have all the answers, right? We need to be the strong one and have it all figured out. And what you find over time, that's not what they want. You know, your team wants to know you're real. You can make mistakes at the same time, right? And it helps them open up and grow at the same time.
Yeah. The realness of people and what they feel like they have to hide and protect, there's a vulnerability that comes with that, right? And
Absolutely.
So we grow up in this world of corporate America. Maybe we have or haven't, but there's a story of we've gotten to, you know, it's caught, not taught.
Yes.
And right. And so our experience with other leaders, we take on maybe some of their personas. But we're not our authentic self always. But we don't know and recognize it's happening. We just think it's part of the job sometimes of like, oh, this is what it looks like to lead from that standpoint. So, you know, as you're a leader at Ditch Witch Midwest, Kevin, and you've been there for a number of years, a successful leader that has done so many incredible things. You run a big team. You've got a huge team that works, you know, with you. I think, over 55 people,
yeah, 50, mm-hmm.
you know, that report into you. And so that's a significant load to carry, in your leadership. And so for you being authentic, I think is really important. You know, do you want to share a little bit about your own personal leadership style in that?
Yeah, of course, that's through mistakes, along the way. I would love to say that this happened over the past, 10 years. You know, I think some of it's generational. Right. Growing up with a father, you know, they didn't change jobs. Right. Work was just go do your job. It's not supposed to be fun. Right. And, and what you find over time is, that my way or highway just doesn't work over time. Right. People start to learn they have options. And some of the, one of them, to be quite honest, is my belief, in the good Lord.
Yeah.
And, one of the Bible studies that we did was a Personality Plus book and, being a strong collective. Eric, right? It talked about where some of the challenges may came in. And one of them that was a pivotal growth for me probably about 20 years ago was it said that I will leave a wake of bodies behind me to achieve a goal. And that made a huge impact on me. And I remember speaking to, my late wife at that time and just said, is that who I am? And she kind of described certain things, and that was a pivotal point for me to lead differently at that point.
Okay. And, when you chose to lead differently, what did you experience? What was the hardest thing that you had to do to lean into that?
Well, one, being a Christ follower, it wasn't about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't do it on my own. So it was a lot of prayer and leaning in for him to change me. And, it softened my heart along the way. And the biggest growth that it wasn't what we did, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What we do isn't what we do. And, one of the life lessons I got from my father when he said, if you can manage people, you can do any job in the world, right? And I think that was a pivotal point once I learned that. What we sell, what we do isn't what we do, is about growing people. And that's the impact that's going to be everlasting.
Yeah, that investment in people is so important.
100%.
And it's life-giving, right? It's life-giving to yourself, but it's giving to others too. And allowing them to grow and be successful in their careers. Going through the 50 Masks workshop, and your team and having that inner reflection, and going through that, what did you experience? What was that like for you?
It's, You know, I've done several things along my career, right? And you look at it, the way you approached it, and it kind of defined where it could hurt your subordinates, where you hurt as a leadership team, what the effects it can have on your company, and you take a step back and look, okay, we should never stop growing. And I think that's the biggest thing is if we go into this, the 50 mask, okay, where else can I improve as a leader? Mm-hmm. And that was one of the biggest takeaways is, okay, how can I continue to improve? Plus, as you said, I have 50 other people that I work with. I have 10 other managers. If they're watching me grow and I'm leaning into it, they're going to grow just through attrition. They're going to lean into it. Once I say I don't have it, they're going to figure out, oh, I don't have it either.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. With so leaning into it, mm-hmm. What's required? Like, what's really required of yourself to get into that, to lean into that this growth?
I transparency. Okay. To look at yourself introspectively. And I think to be surrounded by other strong leaders that can kind of, hey, do you see this in me? Hey, can you give me examples? And be humble about it at the same time.
No, that's good. The humility aspect, I think, is everything. How do you become humble? Because I think it's a million-dollar question.
Yeah.
The word's used a lot, I've known you for a while.
Yeah.
You are a very humble guy. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you become humble? Because I think the world says prideful's better.
Sure. And I think a lot of us go through that, right? And I think, unfortunately, we learn the hard way. To be in the Word, to understand that, you know, we don't have it figured out. And I think over time you make enough mistakes, you learn, oh, I don't have this figured out. And you look to, the good Lord to guide you at the mm-hmm. same time. And look, I'm blessed also to work for a Christian-owned company, right? Mark very well, and the fact that we pray and stuff along that line, I think that helps keep you grounded to what's important.
Yeah. So true, Kevin.
Yeah.
The humility part is tied to God. I believe that too to be true. Like without God in my life,
it's really hard
to be humble.
I can look back at my life and one of the biggest mistakes and falls is because I try to do it on my own. Yeah.
Yeah. We all it's the hardest person to lead is ourselves, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And so having God take that on for us is a huge help.
Sure.
In helping us grow from that standpoint. Tell me about your team a little bit.
Yeah.
So you've got all these leaders that you're working with, and they've been on this growth journey with you for the last 16, 17 months.
Yeah.
Ditch Witch Midwest, you guys had said, hey, we're going to go and we're going to grow and invest in our culture. Part of that was doing the 50 Masks workshop, and so on. What has it been like for the team culturally to take and invest into this from an individual standpoint? Growing is not easy. It's hard. It's one of the hardest things that we're going to ever do. And it's a constant thing, right? We never arrive. And so just really from your perspective and leading this team of change, like what has it been like? What does it feel like? I'd love to know about that.
Yeah, I think before I answer that, I'd probably have to step back to how we got where we are today, right? And, I was at a conference 4 or 5 years ago, and the lady leading it asked, what's your culture? Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there, and I'm like, what's our culture? Now, I'm a leader of one of the leaders, and I know what the company means to me, what's our culture? And before I could finish that thought process, she goes, if you don't know your culture, you're not a high-performing culture. Mm-hmm. So over that time, we had to progress that, hey, what is our culture as a company? What do they believe in when they walk in? What are they fighting for? And that's where we found you, okay? And you were able to come in. So we knew as leaders, if we didn't have the other managers involved, we were just not going to transform our organization. We just weren't, okay? And what has been fantastic is watch the 10 other leaders that I work with lean into it and watch what has happened over the past 16, 17 months. Looks different for everybody, right? And what it means to them. But, we meet weekly, all mm-hmm. right? And I'm able to have some very intimate conversations, both what are they trying to do personally and professionally. And I probably get more times than not thank you that the company invested in us. I've been with this company for 30 years. I've never been through something like this. This means so much. And you can see just their eyes wide open. And, you know, and I think, as you know, one of the meetings I had a manager look at me one time is, you know, and he says, I thought you were crazy, Kevin, for the past 3 years. Now this all makes sense to me, you know? And so it's just exactly. Yeah. And, you know, so you were able just to come at it a different angle. And all of a sudden it was like, aha. And, you know, and that's fun to watch at the same time.
No, that really is. Well, because you're giving life through it, right? Yeah. And you're witnessing that and you're seeing your team. Even if you've said it a million times, when it clicks, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, that's so exciting. Because they can see now what you've seen.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, you know, and you're such a good leader, all you want is the best for your people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you are amazing at that, and you love your people so much.
Yeah, I appreciate that. My learning was, I guess I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher after a while. They were just tuning me out. So it needed you to come in and change the narrative. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you know, it's... you know, it's never the content. It's always the voice.
Yeah.
Right. And it's sometimes that it's just a different voice and a different perspective saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about who, but it's about when it happens.
Yeah. That's a great, great line. It's not about me or us, right? It's something bigger. And then you want it to trickle down, right? So yes. You want them to take it to the rest of the team. They don't hoard it themselves, right? It is now go share this with everybody else and let's bring them along with us. They may not be sitting in the room with you, but you can still go share that excitement of what it's doing for you at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Kevin, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. So, Kevin, for those who want to continue this conversation or connect with your work, where can you find? Where can we find you on LinkedIn, social media, or elsewhere? How can we get connected with you?
Yeah, I'm probably still old school. Don't do a whole lot of that social media. But you know, yeah, it's Ditch Witch Midwest. You know, so it'd be kridens@ditchwitchmidwest.com, and then of course, phone number would be 630-743-8742.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, sure.
So much.
Yeah, I appreciate that. My learning was, I guess I sound like Charlie Brown's teacher after a while. They were just tuning me out. So it needed you to come in and change the narrative. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you know, it's never the content. It's always the voice.
Yeah.
Right? And it's sometimes that it's just a different voice and a different perspective saying the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not about who. But it's about when it happens.
Yeah, that's a great, great line. It's not about me or us, right? It's something bigger. And then you want it to trickle down, right? So yes. You want them to take it to the rest of the team. They don't hoard it themselves, right? It is now go share this with everybody else and let's bring them along with us. They may not be sitting in the room with you, but you can still go share that excitement of what it's doing for you at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Kevin, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. So Kevin, if people wanted to connect with you, where could they find you?
Yeah, it would be kridens@ditchwitchmidwest.com. Of course, you can always look us up online, and then phone number would be 630-743-8742.
We'll be right back. We're back with more on the Inspired Culture. Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. I'm here with Kevin, and we're diving into one of the most common leadership challenges today, how to lift up a team that's burnt out. So, Kevin, from your perspective, burnout in the workplace, I think it's a name and it's a category that a lot of people could say, I'm in or I'm not. But teams, when they're lifting heavy loads for a really long time and us all pursuing the vision, the mission, and the OKRs of the organization, It can bring challenge from time to time. And so how do you help teams not burn out?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I remember when I stepped into this role, you know, several years ago, and I sat with one manager, and he shared a story that he was so tired by the end of the week that he told his wife, don't plan anything on Friday night because I'm going straight to bed. And I remember we had to stop and analyze that. Okay, why are we that way? That's not a good – you can't keep going that way, right? And I think a line you said one time, you can't give what you don't have, right? Yes. And I think that's a good foundational tool. So how do you help with it? Well, one, you have to recognize what it is. And I think for them to stop and get off that hamster wheel, and figure out, are we doing busy work or is it productive work? Okay, what can we delegate out? And I think the biggest thing to help is they need to know they have a partner, right? And so we had to work together. Is our staffing levels too low? What are you just taking on? Because that's what you have always done. And then there's the other burnout that I think of where we stretch ourselves. There's the workload, and then there's that, emotional intelligence that goes into it. So let's talk about what we're changing here for a culture that takes a lot of energy to do, right? Mm-hmm. So you're trying to keep the day-to-day business going, but then also you're trying to figure out the mask. How do you change the way you've always led? Because it's going to look differently. So we as a team sometimes have to help each other lift each other, right? And I think the calls that we have, I think the connections that we have through you to kind of give everybody a voice and, hey, I'm not in this alone, that kind of gives you an energy. You're a runner, right? I've done marathons. The running itself isn't always that fun when you hit about mile 19, right? But it's the energy that's around it, and you got other people there that you're gleaning to. The spectators that you're watching and they're rooting you on, I think that's very important even in the business world that we're rooting each other on.
Absolutely. So how do you create that environment, right? So you've got this team that, what are some of the key components or the ingredients, so call it, to have that continued success to root people on? Because, I don't know that people just show up to an organization and say, you know what, I'm going to root everybody on today.
Yeah.
I hope everybody's just going to win and I'm just going to show up energized and ready to give. I think that's an environment that has to be fostered. And so how have you fostered that?
Yeah, through communication, right, is I think the big thing that we design is what's our vision, right? Mm. So again, going back to earlier, what we do isn't what we do. So what inspires us to come in every morning? I tease my parts guys, like I'm sure you don't go home the other night and say, let me tell you how many bolts I sold for the day. It's usually going to be something with your team that was exciting, right? Hey, let me tell you how this person came to work today. Let me tell you about this customer. So you're finding those. The other thing is having five locations throughout the Midwest is your outlying locations need to know they're pulled into things, right? Sometimes they feel like they're out on an island. And I think as leaders, it's important that we show up, okay? Traveling, talking to them on a regular basis, pulling them into certain, things that we may only do in our main location of West Chicago, and to know, hey, you're not forgotten about, you're part of this, and challenging them a little bit more, maybe outside of what they're used to doing.
Certainly. So the team feels seen and heard.
Absolutely.
That's so important because then they know they're valuable. And then they become intrinsically motivated to want to support the organizational goals, the vision that you have, and help you guys execute and scale and grow to the next level. I think that's really neat that you guys foster that environment. You have a great group of people. You really do. All of your leaders care. Yeah. Nobody shows up. Everybody's invested.
Yeah.
That's really neat to see from my vantage point because I don't see that everywhere. And you guys truly are invested, and some of the systems out there, thoughts where we're not sure if this is going to work or not, and all of that, but you guys are all in and you're making an impact in your company and your people's lives. And, one of the things, Kevin, you're leading holistically, these 20 minute check-ins on Monday with each one of your leaders to focus on their scorecards, it's personal and professional growth. Right. And so, we don't always have positions to offer, but we do have energy and encouragement to be provided as leaders to give. And that's something that you're giving your people to grow. Have you seen any stories that come up for you? I know we're talking about burnout, but you don't have the burnout. You're pulling people out of that. You've got a space where burnout really isn't taking place. So is there a story that was inspiring to you that you've seen one of your team leaders step up and lean into?
Yeah, there could be burnout. They may not see it, right?
Sure.
And that's something to identify, also. Yeah, look, I think the biggest one, is Pat, our parts manager in West Chicago, just to watch the way he has grown as a leader over the past 16, 17 months. He was the one that I spoke to that said, Friday, don't plan anything. I'm going to bed, right? Because I'm exhausted. But now to watch the way he's leading, the way he's growing his team, the way he's depending on them. And now I'm watching those three within an organization, you know, take on more, want to take on more, and you just see it, right? Our customers feel it at the same time. We can watch it through our customer service scores and just the accolades they receive from it. So it has definitely been a huge paradigm shift, and it's been a positive one.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I have never asked you this before. Really, you know, what was your customer service score before and then after Pat's leadership change with his team?
Yeah, that collectively as a whole, as an organization, you know, we were probably one of the lowest, okay? And last year we were recognized as the top customer service throughout the Ditch Witch, you know, organizations, you know, throughout the United States. So, you know, the team really stepped in and leaned into it, and we changed certain things, and, you know, and they got excited, right? And now it's just, they're taking care of it on their own. You know, I don't have anything I have to do with it any longer. It's now got its own wheels, and they're moving forward with it. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, that you know, that empowerment piece, you know, Pat is clearly demonstrating that a lot with his team and delegating and, you know, working with Pat, you know, it's always like, hey, you got to let go of some of this stuff, right? You know, got to give it away.
Sure.
And let other people do it. And you guys are all doing that, which is really, really neat. So how do leaders relight the spark in their people? So after burnout happens and they've hit this place, you know, what do you do to reignite it?
Well, us as leaders, we have to look at ourselves, right? You know, we can say, how do I ignite them? Am I ignited? All right. So we're susceptible to being burnt out at the same time. I think, as you share many times, is it's a badge of honor to say, I only sleep 3 hours a night, yes. Right? And you just keep going and going and going. You know, so sometimes we have to look at ourselves, okay? Do we exemplify what a work-life balance is, okay? Mm-hmm. I would say our organization as a whole does a great job. You know, we're very family first, but you can get lost into the busyness at the same time.
Sure.
So I think, you know, for leaders, is to recognize that the most important thing is to know your team, right? So if something doesn't seem right, it's just, hey, you good today? You know, you seem a little off. And they may not share anything, but just to know that you asked and that you care can change that dynamics at the same time. So then they feel like they're part of something. And then, you know, they may have something going on and outside of the workplace, but they're going to work very hard knowing that they're cared about.
Yeah. Well, and I really like that you're asking.
Yeah.
You know, I think that says a lot about who you are as a leader and the care that you really have for the team because, and the fact that you pick up on it, right? That's the biggest thing. You're aware of your surroundings, you're aware of your people, and you know if something's wrong or not. And so you choose to investigate instead of being passive.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's, you know, one of my all-time favorite quotes is, if I'm able to see further than others because I stood on the shoulder of giants, right? And they're giants to me, okay? And that's the way I hope to lead. It's not about me. And you're right, I do care about them. And, you know, and they reciprocate it. They care about me at the same time.
You know, if there was one thing that you had to share with the audience that's a key ingredient to loving your people well, what would that be?
Key ingredient. Know your people. Get to know them, okay? Outside of just the work, okay? It's very important that you're able to know spouses' names, know their kids. Mm. When you show up, it's beyond talking about P&L statements or business growth. Hey, how's the family doing? Everybody's got something going on outside of the workplace, right? And they need to know you care about them.
That's excellent. I love that. Yeah. And so, how is it received when you do that?
Like, yeah.
What's the reception on the other end of that? You know, because a lot of people are like, well, I do all these things, but I actually don't know if it's connecting or making an impact or not. Kevin, you've had the opportunity to know the impact. And so, you know, maybe just share the other side of the coin with everybody on that.
Yeah, great question. Some are willing to share, right? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, some are not, okay? And it just takes time. You know, you can't force it. And some that are wanting to share what's going on, you're going to listen and you know, and receive it. Others, it just may, the fact that you asked, okay, I think makes the impact. You can't force it on them. And over time, you know, it's they open up and you're seeing more and more of that. And I think the bigger thing is know when to be silent is a big one. And you'll pick up on cues, and that's just enough. And to know that you're, or your people know that you care about them.
Yeah, that's so good. I know, like, reflecting and asking you the question and then having it play out in my mind, if you asked me, you know, as I worked for you and being, you know, in that, I'd feel really good. I would feel seen. I would feel cared for. And I know, and I'd also know I matter.
Yeah.
Right. In that I do serve a purpose in this company. I do serve a purpose within my peer group here at work at Ditch Witch Midwest, and that the impact that I have, the experience I get to create, is important to the leadership team. Kevin, for leaders who are feeling stuck, where can they reach out to learn from your experience and connect with you?
Yeah, you have to have people you can lean into. You know, is sometimes you can feel like you're on an island, right? You feel like you're the only one going through it, okay? And we all have our own teams that we are in charge of. But you have to be able to go to people to bounce things off of, right? And, you know, the Bible's a big one for me, okay? Having, you know, Kathy outside, you know, is a good perspective also, right? There are times I just might share something and she might say, have you ever thought about this, right? So, because she's not in it every day. You know, for some of us as leaders, we're in it every day, right? And so I think to be able to share is important. And, you know, that's another way for us to grow, okay? And, you know, look, I think reading's important, okay? I think finding different things for leaders that can inspire you is important. You know, Devon does a great job sending out different inspirational things to us leaders at times. And sometimes that just gives you a recharge. You know, oh, I didn't think about that. A lot of times when I go to conferences, or I just look for one thing I can pull from. Okay, I don't care if it's a 2-3 day conference. I don't need it to be jam-packed. Just give me one thing that maybe I can do differently.
That's good. Yeah, getting that one thing, because we can do something with that, right?
100%.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
All right, for everybody that is tuning in, one thing. I'm going to take one thing that we could do differently from a place that we learn, if it's from reading to reading the Bible to peer-to-peer groups, but leaving with one thing to work on to focus on growing. You've heard it from Kevin here, and we'll be back here in a short moment.
We'll be right back. We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
All right, we're back on the Inspired Culture with Kevin Riddens. In this segment, we're exploring what it means to lead without losing who you are. Kevin, welcome back.
Thank you.
We have a couple questions, and this is a favorite topic of mine.
You know, seem to be beaming right now.
Leading without losing who you are. I think it's so hard in a culture and a world we live in today, because there's so many people that tell you who you need to be.
Yeah.
Yet not your authentic self is one of those versions, right? It's a version or a carbon copy of somebody else you admire or you see as a leader, or you've been around so long that you've picked up their characteristics of a leader, both the good and the bad.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times leadership, especially early in our careers, becomes really caught, not taught, and no vision, but, you know, just reaction, right, to what we've experienced in the past and in previous ways we saw people lead, because that's all we knew, right? And so we learn what we know, not knowing there's even more out there. And so I love taking a proactive approach to leadership. Personally, I think it's really important that we have to have our own vision of who we are to become, you know, leaning into God for Him to show us who we are in our purpose altogether. So how can someone stay grounded as they rise in leadership, Kevin? What's been your experience in that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you talk about, you know, being grounded with the good Lord. I remember doing Bible studies with my kids, and it's like, God made you an original. Don't be a carbon copy, right? And you know, just think of when you watch the old 1950s movies and everybody had the short sleeve white shirts on, black tie, and you know, and everybody was a cookie cutter. So you learn over time that, mm-hmm. that you can be who you are. You know, you're asking the question of it. I think the biggest thing is, do you know who you are, right? You got to be able to identify that before you can move forward, right? There's something you can learn from everybody, but I think the most important, you don't have to be them, okay?
Right.
It's no different, you know, the 10 different managers I have. I don't want you all the same. You know, there's certain procedures and stuff that need to look identical, but go manage the way you're wired, right? Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things we utilize is a culture index, and it kind of tells you how this person is wired, how they are, and then how they behave in a job behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's important as a leader to know who you're working with, right? Is the way that I might approach them isn't going to be beneficial, and that's the same for me, right? So I need to be true to myself. I need to be authentic in order to be successful. People can read when you're not being yourself, right? And then they're not going to open up and they're not going to follow you as a leader either.
Absolutely. The self-discovery journey is it's a huge journey that I don't know that many people travel.
Yeah.
I wish more did personally. I wish I did earlier in my own life self-discovery, because when you understand who you are and who you're made to be, you have a firm foundation to stand on to then decide, you know, what you want to be and what does that look like and all that. And so would you mind sharing a little bit with the audience what your self-discovery journey has been to this point?
Yeah, you made a great comment from a standpoint. It's seen, right? You know, one of them was a fantastic leader that helped develop me who I am, Anita Fink. But she was a workaholic, and to the point that I almost lost my marriage because I thought I had to carbon copy her.
I think we have a mask for that one.
We do. Boy, do we. And you know, in the organization I was with prior to this, you know, one learning from her is business got tough. 9/11 hit, you know, it looked different, and it was all about the numbers. Mm-hmm. It was all about the P&L. And I remember, you know, looking at my late wife saying, I'm doing this wrong. I want to make mm-hmm. an impact in people's lives. I want somebody to look back and say, you know what, I'm glad I worked with Kevin Rydens, right? Didn't matter what goals we achieved, but that we grew together, right? Not just me growing them, but I'm learning from them at the same time. So it was a pivotal part of my career where I had to look at myself and this isn't the right way, right, to go about it. And that's what worked for me, okay? Everybody might be a little mm-hmm. bit different, but I focus now on the people aspect, and in turn, I'm growing at the same time, you know? So it's like they always say, when things are going well, you're looking through a window. When they're not, you look in a mirror, and that's the big thing that you got to manage at the same time, right? That sometimes maybe it's not about them, it's about you.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
I love that too. The whole mirror aspect is so important, because we got to be able to reflect and see. And if we're not able to see as leaders, there's a cost then to everybody else around us.
Yeah.
You know, and especially for our own self-discovery journey. And that's where a lot of blind spots show up, right? If we don't have that constant perspective coming in, we're leading blind because we're not seeing the harm we're causing about the things that we need to grow through. And so that journey of self-reflection is really, really important, you know, and to gain that perspective.
Yeah, to kind of carry on that a little bit more, I think another one is, look, we work a lot of hours, right? Most of our waking hours are at work. And I remember my wife was like, I'm not one of your employees, right? Because you didn't know when to shut it off. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that was another thing that I had to learn is, you know, raising kids. I don't care what you do for a living. They want dad when you get home, right? So that was another discovery I had to learn along the way is, you know, who am I truly? And that's what they always say. Your character is behind the closed doors, right? So I want to be the man of God. It's what I want people to remember me by. So I don't want to hide and only do that at home. I want to be able to carry that to work also.
That's good, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's really admirable. And, you know, I honor you for that because I think that is it, right? That is. So that's really, really neat. So why do you think people compromise some of their values in leadership roles? You know, when you, you know, we see it all the time. The, you know, we see it in politics. We see it everywhere. You start out one way and you end up somewhere else. And so you gave away part of who you are along the way. Why do you think that happens?
I think you need to question your own integrity at that point, right? That's one of the aspects. I think the other is you're trying to be a people pleaser. And yes, there's a mass for that one too. You think you're giving them what they want to hear, okay? Mm-hmm. As opposed to, we always say, maybe what they need to hear. So I think the bigger thing is just that integrity, okay? Right or wrong, you stand on a foundation and, you know, and you believe in it and you're convicted by it. Everything else is going to fall into place at that point.
No, well said. Yeah, the integrity piece is important. You know, it really, really is. And you almost have to create leadership boundaries for yourself in it, because if you don't have these boundaries of integrity, and, you know, because it's like having, you know, a team is like having a number of kids, no matter how you look at it. As a dad, you've got these kids and you have this responsibility to hold everybody accountable, right? And at the same point, be fair.
Yeah.
And at the same point, not compromise yourself.
Sure.
And so if you're compromising yourself, then you're not being fair, because there's no consistency or a standard to live out life, or your kids to grow up into, or your team to follow, you know, in all of that. And so the boundary aspect, when you have those components in, you're able to then say, hey, you know what? I am an integrity, yeah. Right? Because I treat everybody the same. I invest into everybody the same, and I challenge everybody the same. And I have empathy, right?
Sure.
For those individuals too.
Yeah, look, eventually your leadership's going to erode. It just will, okay? If you don't have some foundation or stand or consistency with your integrity, you're going to lose your effectiveness. They're just not going to follow you anymore, okay? They'll tell you what you want to hear, but, you know, once you leave a location or turn your back, they're going to go back because they're going to know he's going to change. That's not who he is. So eventually there's going to be a bigger ramification than anything.
Yeah. So with that, it sounds like when you erode your leadership style and you lose your integrity, you lose trust.
100%.
You know, and realistically, from my experience anyways, trust is everything.
Yeah. You know, I had a pastor one time that says you're building a lifetime to create a name, but it takes 1 second to ruin that name, you know, just from a mistake, right? And people make mistakes, but we also know right and wrong and what we have to do. So when you jeopardize that, you can lose everything.
Yeah, absolutely. The mistakes are costly, and it depends when it happens what you do with it. You either could blame it or own it.
Yeah.
You know, and ownership requires a lot of work, but it's the only way to restore the relationship or the relationship with the team, the organization. You have to invest, be consistent, show up, do the hard yard, so call it, to get back into that trusting position.
It's okay for a leader to say they were wrong.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard for a lot of them, but it's okay to say, hey, I missed this one.
Yeah.
You know?
I own it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's okay.
Yep.
It feels good, actually, to own stuff personally.
Takes a weight off the shoulders.
It does. It's like, you know what? I'm human too. I'm imperfect.
Yes.
And it's okay.
You know, and that's a great line that you just said. I think these 50 masks help us identify we are human, right? We don't have it figured out. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of times leadership, we think we had to carry this facade that we have it all figured out, right? You know, and I think one of the big questions I always, you know, work with my team is, hey, walk me through this, okay? Because I'm trying to gain perspective and information because I don't know it all, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can see things differently. Or if I made a decision and it was offbeat, it's like, all right, I messed that one up. Let's get this back on track. And, you know, there's a lot of humility. And at the same token, your team can respect that at the same time. It's the ones that draw the line in the sand and say, nope, I'm going to die on this hill, you know, and not give up because they might look wrong. You're going to lose a lot of people at that point.
Yeah. There's, you know, it's the dying on the hill aspect, you know. What it was yesterday will change for tomorrow, right, in the growth standpoint of things. And it's all perspective, you know, and maybe we are choosing the right hill to die on. But most of the time I find that statement doesn't work well with the hill.
Yeah.
And death does come, but not the way that we want it to.
You're the only one standing on that hill eventually. So
We're not helping move. We're not allowing that perspective to come in and flow, as you say.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin, it's been a pleasure. We've got one more segment with you. I'm excited to go through the next segment here, but we're going to take a brief break and we'll be right back.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
We'll be right back. We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
This final segment on the Inspired Culture gets real about something many don't talk about, how isolating leadership can feel. Why is leadership so isolating even when you're surrounded by people?
I think it's a badge of honor for some. You know, I think I've got this. Nobody's going to understand. You know, I'm the only one dealing with this. And I think we're just so used to trying to figure it out on our own, right? And that's a lot of rookie leadership along the way, you know, and you learn over time you're not in it alone. Just because maybe you're in that position and nobody else might be doesn't mean there's not perspective that comes along with it. I think there's a lot of value, and I've been blessed to wear many different hats along the way, right? And you learn from those experiences at the same time. You can learn from everything. So I think the biggest thing is you think nobody else is going to understand, and you just kind of keep it all down and, you know, and try to move forward. And eventually that's when you get frustrated, burned out, and you just don't have fun any longer.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And, you know, doing it alone, when you're, you know, the higher you go in an organization, you know, there's less peers and it feels less safe sometimes. And it's because your team is looking to you for the answers as well. And I think about our journeys, right? I think our journeys are pretty similar in a lot of ways. You know, where we have worked hard, gotten promoted, been successful through working hard, right? We outworked everybody to start our careers off. Maybe we didn't think as well as others, but we definitely were going to outwork anybody. Nobody's going to work harder than us, right? And so kind of bringing that mentality through, it becomes part of who you are. But then, you know, that working hard, maybe it plays out still pretty well for you in the next position you get. But at some point, you got to have to let that go because you have to foster wisdom in your leadership. And right. And so it becomes this leadership shift, I think, along the journey from where it's about us and how hard we can work to empowering the team and how helping them grow. Right. And so there's this transition at some point along this leadership journey. And I think it's in every organization, in every role, different. But we have to have those ingredients coming into play for us to foster that environment, because I think when we get to the top, you know, of whatever it is that we're doing in our expertise, it can be really lonely if we haven't fostered an environment of inclusion, right, to where everybody feels included in the team. But we also personally as leaders have to invite in vulnerability. And for us, if we're not going to be vulnerable first, we can never expect our teams to be vulnerable with us. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I agree. Look, you know, Proverbs says a wise man seeks a table of many counselors, right? So I think there's importance to that. Leadership doesn't mean you have all the answers, right? No different than the CEO of a large organization doesn't know every detail of it. So no different than me stepping into this role, I don't do what many of my leaders do every single day, okay? So to pull them in and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Hey, this is a project. Hey, you lead this a little bit yourselves. I don't necessarily have to do everything, right? And I think at that same token, when you start to pull it in, is when something does get tough, your team's going to come around you, okay, and say, hey, let's go do this together. But if you're constantly isolating yourself, guess what? When things get tough, you're going to be on your own, okay? And so I think it's important to get many perspectives. I don't care if it's somebody that's working part-time, right? It's just, hey, what are your thoughts on this? What do you see? And there's a lot of great information that comes out of there. You know, I think, you know, the good old corporate, you know, phrase we say, the ivory tower, right? You know, we think we've got it all figured out. And then you come to find, it's like, okay, we're just good at coming up with topics. Let's go put it where it really is going to matter. And they're going to tell us what real life truly is. And we have to be willing to listen to that.
Yeah. I love that you said the ivory tower, because there's a lot of people that look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
And so fostering, you know, the word comes up of control as a leader when we're alone. I think that we've decided a route of control, I believe, that we want control over our direction and everything else. And so if we find ourselves at the top by ourselves, because we chose control over empowering and giving other to others, and inviting them in, right? Because we will be by ourselves because our nature of how we think, what we believe, and what's required of us is only us to get those outcomes, to where I think that leaders that surround themselves and have that community have chosen the other path, right, of bringing people in. So that may be challenging for somebody that's trying to let go of control because, wait a minute, I want the answer quick. Yeah. I want to make it happen. And this is what I think should happen, not inviting the perspective. And not that your answer is a bad answer or a bad direction. It's building around it, right? It's building around that vision. And so are we making room for those people to come around it in leadership to say, hey, your points, your voices, your vision, and your perspective is also really, really important.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, we think we're the only one that has the answers at times, right? Okay. As you know, one of the previous careers I had was in retail. And you know, Christmas time is the most important time to work, right? And you know, and I remember one Christmas.
It's the most important time of the year.
It really is, you know, absolutely. Is, you know, after a couple of years, I had, you know, my district manager walk in. He said, hey, follow me outside. And we went outside and he said, get in your car. And I go, what are you doing? He goes, you're going home. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, I don't want you in this store. You're here too much. Trust your team. And I remember a little bit later, I sat down. I was like, how do I get your position? He said, well, first off, you better start empowering people. Mm. You'll never be able to manage from a distance multiple locations if you think you're the only one that can do everything. And I was young, you know, 23, 24 years old, thought I have to be everywhere at all times, or it's not going to succeed. And, you know, one of the lessons, I remember calling my store at 9 o'clock at night, hey, how'd we do today? And they were so busy. And I remember saying, why didn't you call me? I would have come in. We didn't need you.
Ah,
we were fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was another life lesson. So I think as leaders, it's important that, you know, we're willing to listen, you know, and those nuggets, if you look back over your career, and I think that's why they say journal, right? Because you can look back over time. It's like, that was a dummy. Look at that mistake, you know, and you start to use those life lessons of people want to do well for you, right? And I think that's an important guidance in leadership when you come back. And whatever your operation is or your business, that it's better than when you were there. They did that for you, okay, because they took pride. Yeah. And that's important. So don't isolate yourself. Pull them in. They're going to want to be successful for you.
Absolutely. That, you know, what comes up for me on that is the whirlwind. You know, like as leaders, you know, your leader stopped and paused you and said, you need to think strategically, Kevin, right? He's like, that was the moment. He had said, you got to be strategic here. You want to go on to the next level? It's not about how hard you work. And it's all about how you lead.
Yeah.
And so that was the moment for you that said, you need to be strategic. We're not going to be in the whirlwind. And we're going to pull you out. And he literally walked you out of it to your car.
He said he was going to fire me if I came back.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, and so it was one of those moments, though, that you had a leader smart enough to care. To invest in you in the right way. Every other leader would have said, work until 3 and we'll celebrate you.
Yeah.
Right? Yo, Kevin was there until 3 a.m. You know, we need to put this out and let everybody know, you know, but yet that was serving nobody.
Yeah, no boss has ever come to me and said, I think you need to go take more vacation time, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to keep giving it, they're going to keep taking it, right? But it ended up being a good friend of mine, you know, along the career path also. But yeah, he saw the error of my ways and corrected it relatively quickly. Yeah.
You know, it's incredible to have outside perspective, right?
Awesome.
You know, and that's why you're not leading at the top alone.
Yeah.
Because people have spoken into your life over your journey to show you that, hey, we can do things different. It is going to be okay. And we have to sometimes get out of our own ways to be able to grow in that capacity, you know. And it's the voice of one.
Yeah.
That could show you that.
Sure.
You know, it only takes one.
There's being smart and then there's having wisdom, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So.
For sure. So why is it, why is connection with peers so important for leaders? What's so important about that, Kevin?
again, where you're not isolated, right? We're all on a common goal, okay? Mm-hmm. The leadership there is we all want the same things. We want our organization to do well. We're passionate. We care. And it's good to have that shoulder at times. Hey, do you have a minute? You know Tim very well, right? Mm-hmm. He's a great counterpart for me. Devon's a great counterpart for me. And we bounce things off of each other. Nothing more than anything, just to know we're here for each other, right? You know, and I think, you know, going through some of the challenges that I've had of different, you know, people passing, you know, it's great. You've built that relationship just beyond the work for people to just to reach out. Hey, mm-hmm. what do you need from me? While you're out, is there anything I can do for you? And that's an important aspect of business that a lot of people just don't think of. A lot of people do it to go through the motions, but for people to truly care about you and you care for each other, you can't stop a company once you get to that point.
No. And I love that peer-to-peer connection because it requires something of you and everybody else going deep in a relationship to be intentional.
Yeah.
You know, we can act it, you know, in passing. Hey, how are you? Good. Oh, okay. I'm good too. Great. All right.
That was the weekend. Great. All right.
What'd you do? Oh, not, you know, and it's just the that surface level conversation that takes place that's passive. That's like, I really don't care. That's what that tells me when you approach it that way, you know, and people do. I think that, you know, investing deep, like you're talking about, into those conversations, having that shoulder. That's the game changer.
I think another thing that's important that gets missed is doing things outside of the four walls of a business, yeah. right? You know, such as me leaving here and going up to one of our branches, and I'm going golfing with some of the you know people up there just to get outside. And it's amazing what you gain from that mm-hmm. too, right? Is people, the guards are down. You just get to have those conversations. So I think that's an aspect that has been missed along the way that, you know, people don't want to give up their time. And, you know, we kind of have that challenge for our leadership once a quarter, mm-hmm. once a quarter, go out to dinner, whatever. Company will pay for it because yeah. we see the value in it at the same time, because it's just going to pay back just so many folds at that point when people know you care about them.
Absolutely. The thing, you know, kind of like you saying that, I love it. You know, team building. That's what the corporations say. Now, we're going to go team building. Now, team building can have a lot of different looks to it, and we're going to be engaged and we're going to be together. But team building is like surface. You know, what I hear like coming through what you're defining, you're actually choosing to date your team.
Yeah.
And date, like when you think about dating somebody, like, you know, I'm getting married in July, and, you know, it's great, but I've dated, right? Yeah. I've dated, and I date my kids. I date all of my kids all the time. I take them out because why? I mean, they've lived with me for a really long time. I still want to know what's going on.
Sure.
I want to be in a depth relationship with them, not surface level. I want them, and they do, come and tell me everything.
Yeah.
Things I probably shouldn't know as a dad, I know. But it's because I was intentional and I've been dating my kids for a really long time. I think it's the same that's true in business. Now, HR leaders would say you can't use, and we don't, foster dating environments and organizations. But the reality is for us to get to know our people, we need to date them.
Well, change the term. Say it's an investment. And that's what you're doing. You're investing, right?
Yes.
As you know, Kathy and I, who are dating, the first few dates, she print out a list of questions, you know, anywhere from funny questions to serious questions. But we craved that time,
yes.
right? Just to truly get to know each other and intimately. And I think a lot of people are fearful of that word, right? Mm-hmm. To know somebody intimately. But I think it's very important.
Yep. The investment's everything.
Yeah.
Right. And if we're, you know, and the dating, and the reason why I love the word date is because it requires two people to show up.
Yeah.
Right. We as leaders can invest one direction, right? But if the other's not investing back, that's it. So this dating experience that you're creating in golf, you know, and all the other things that your company does is really neat. Because you are choosing to learn and your people are choosing to learn, right? And so it's a mutual relationship that's fostering an incredible culture for your company at Ditch Witch Midwest. And you guys are truly living the inspired culture, which I love to see. And I love it for all of you. And I love it for you as a leader. I love it for Mark, you know, as the leader of the organization yeah. and everybody that's participating in it, because there's been so many wins over a short period of time for your company and for your people. And the best is yet to come. Yeah. You guys are on a projection and a trajectory that's going to take you guys much, much further than where you're at today. And the journey's already been great.
Yeah.
You know, and just there's much more to go. Yeah. So with that, so it's really neat. Kevin, it's been a pleasure to have you here today. I've really enjoyed our conversation, our friendship. I'm grateful for you and having you in my life as an individual, as a great leader in all that you do. And really, really appreciate the opportunity to have you here today on the Inspired Culture.
Yeah, I'm honored. Thank you very much, Erica. You know, you've brought a lot to my life over these past 16, 17 months, perspectives that I never saw. And, you know, I thank the good Lord and, you know, and pray for that we continue this. It's been a great journey together.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it too. It's just as enjoyable for me as well.
Yeah.
And so grateful for the friendship, the partnership, all of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today we learned that leadership isn't just about driving results. It's about staying real, staying connected, and staying human. Whether you're leading a global company or a small team, you're not alone. The culture you build starts with the courage you show. I'm Eric Himes, and this has been The Inspired Culture. Thanks for joining us. Stay inspired, stay true, and keep building something that lasts.